This podcast was recorded on Kaurna land. We acknowledge the Kaurna people as the original custodians of the land and pay our respects to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples.
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Look at the footnotes.
I should footnote this.
Is there another footnote?
And there's a footnote at the bottom, plus footnotes, endnotes, a glossary, and two epilogues.
Find out what it says in the footnote.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Take Note. You are listening to a footnote today, and I have our bestie back, Liv. She's back on the pod.
Hey, guys. I feel like I said that every time, but
You mean it.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
We're doing a really, really fun little Q&A today. We've had some questions polled from our Instagram from you guys that we're going to answer.
Plug uoa.oncampus. That's yes. The only way you can submit the questions for the podcast. We get so many student requests. How can I be involved in the podcast? What do I need to do? Follow the Instagram.
Yes.
That's how we're finding people.
Yes, yes. We're definitely doing shout outs on there for students when we need them on the podcast. So we've had quite a few students actually in the last couple of weeks ask how they can get involved. So that is definitely the best way. Check
100%.
There. And any opportunities that come up, we'll definitely be putting them on there.
There might not be that many for the rest of the year, but the podcast, as far as I know, is running the same way in 2025. So if you follow the Instagram now, you'll be all ready to go for 2025 when the call-outs will definitely be coming hard and fast.
Yes, yes. But before we get into the questions, let's do a little check-in. How are you today, Liv?
So you guys, you'll actually never believe it. I'm so pissed off. We have this storeroom at work that, first of all, I've never been into before. I got shown to it today. I leave the room and I like don't really think much of it. I look down, my black pants that I wear to work, they're from Kukai. If you know, you know, I paid $200 for them. They're covered in dust and dirt and they look brown on the side of my pants. And
You're
I've been
not
trying
happy.
To shake them out, clean them. Nah, it's staying. I'm going to have to put them in the wash. Anyway, my hair is literally f***ing yellow. Like you can't see because we're recording. Like it's voice.
Genuinely?
It's highlighted yellow.
Someone's taken a highlighter to your hair. Like just this tiny patch on like your right side.
Like I have blonde hair, right? And you can see there's a distinct difference between the part of my hair that's blonde and this yellow, like it's in like circles. Like there's like a line and then there's like a circle a bit higher up.
This is one of the world's greatest mysteries. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so shook.
Keep in mind, I'm not even going back to my house tonight. So I'm going to be stealing my boyfriend's shampoo. That's not my $60 one. It's like, and I'm going to have to try wash it out. And also, I just washed my hair yesterday.
Oh, I feel like as well, you expect like if blonde hair is going to go any color, that it'd grow like green.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like chlorine or something like that. But the fact it's genuinely bright yellow. Like imagine paint, the paint program on Microsoft, and then you're clicking the yellow, the like base level yellow color. That's what it is.
That's literally what it looks like. We'll put a picture on the Instagram story in the day this podcast goes up, but my hair on the day that we're recording it is bright yellow.
R.I.P. I'm so sorry.
Anyway, Shannon, how's your day going today?
Look, mine is a lot less chaotic than yours today, I think. I'm just trying to wind down some work stuff so I can get really stuck into my thesis because that's
thesis
due for me.
Time.
Yes, it's due in like 6 weeks.
Oh my God. So, I'm talking about finishing my degree in six, like my classes in 6 weeks, and your thesis is going to be due at the same time. So we should have like a little office party or something.
Oh my God, absolutely. But yeah, I've still got about at least 9,000 words to write, but I'm sure there'll be more than that.
If you guys could see my face right now, my joy is on the floor. 9,000 words.
But I mean, I feel like if you like count like all the words that you do in your final assignments at the end of the semester, like say you've got four subjects and they've all got like a big essay, they'd all be like 2,500 anyway, like when you're in third year.
Yeah, so you'd be 8,000.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like that, but I just have a bit more time to do it in some ways. So it's kind of not as bad. I've been pretty good.
Like, I feel like the 2,000 words, like you do an introduction, you do a conclusion, it's like the recommendation section. Really, it's only 1,500 of like going through the paragraphs and like the arguments, but yours is like 9,000 words of the arguments.
Oh, look, it's not so bad. If you're thinking about doing honours, like if you are, if you're sort of steadily chipping away, it's not so bad because, yeah, you've got like, you still do have those things, your introduction, conclusion and stuff like that. And like findings, it's very like methodical writing. You're like, I found this kind of thing. So it's a little less intense.
It's kind of giving year 12 research projects.
Yeah, a little bit, but like much bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. But like how you do, like, I forget what it's called, the like planning thing at the beginning, like the,
yeah, the proposal.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's kind of giving like that.
It's giving proposal.
And then you write like the main thing, which is like, oh, I found this, and that's like half of it. And then the second half is like, you connect this to this and this to this, and then suddenly you have this great outcome.
Yeah.
And then the third one's just like evaluation, but I feel like there's no thesis evaluation.
I mean, I guess you do sort of discuss what you sort of found and like how, like any like flaws in it and things like that. So
it's
probably like an element of it. But yeah, if you are thinking about doing honors, it's not as scary as the 9,000 word sounds.
Personally,
you can do it, Liv.
Yes. So funny. I think the other thing that we were going to try talk about at the beginning of today before we jump into our Q&A is mine and Shannon's best study tip for the week.
Yes. Yes. I love this idea.
And then if you guys like it, we can keep doing it. We'll just do one for the moment.
Yeah. Okay. So keep me with your best study recommendation for the moment.
So to be honest, I feel like I'm one of those people that will tell you that the way that I study is the best way to study. Obviously, I know that there's lots of different ways to study, but the first one that comes to my mind is I have everything color-coded. If you're a visual learner, which I always have been, I don't know if you guys remember when you're in like, I want to say year six, and they give you like the four different types of learning, and it's like kinesthetic, analytical, organized, and visual. Visual was always in the yellow box. Yellow is my favorite color. Apart from
being in your hair.
Oh, yeah, apart from my hair being yellow. Maybe I jinxed it. Anyway, visual. So what I do on my uni, on like the Canvas thing, I make all of my classes a different color. At the moment, I have green, blue, pink, and purple. They change depending on what color hide notebooks I can buy.
Oh.
I know that they're expensive, but I buy a different color for each subject. You can double up over the like semesters, but four different colors for each semester.
I low-key feel like that's controversial, like changing the colors. Like, I feel like people have such strong opinions on like what subject is what color.
No,
like math is blue, you know?
Yeah, I know. But when it's marketing, like marketing to me is all pink, but like obviously they're going to be different colors.
That's so
true. So I have my four different colored notebooks, and those colors correspond to on Canvas. And in, look, I know that some of this sounds expensive, but I promise like it compounds over time and you like, you get your value for money. I bought a $20 pack of these Sharpie markers called S Notes, and they come in all these different colors. There's like 15. So my whole uni degree, I've never not been able to have a matching Sharpie to my notebook because they come in enough colors.
I'm loving
and
this.
They're a highlighter and a note texter at the same time. So I can write words in that color and I can highlight things and underline things. I love them. Anyway, the color texter matches the color notebook, which matches the Canvas course. So I can sit in my exam and I can visualize the color of the course and the notes that it's written in.
Oh my God. So it's kind of like a memory hack at the same time.
Yeah. Look, I find it is really helpful. And then like we all get this way, like when we're doing our degrees, which obviously, like I said, like mine's all marketing at the moment. And we sit there and I'm like, oh, I'm getting all the different marketing confused. Everything I can be like, oh, it's the pink one.
Yeah, I
And
like
I can
that.
See the pink notes. Like my subject at the moment, marketing to the world. I just got my assignment back, so it's really in my head. But I have my pink notebook and my pink notes. So then when I'm thinking about content that's marketing to the world specific, I think pink.
I like it because I feel like it's also kind of, yeah, visual organization.
Yeah.
Because I don't like when you look at a bunch of information and none of it's assigned to anything.
I
so
know.
Like I've color coded all the podcast episodes so that I know exactly where I am with it. And it makes me feel so much more at ease because I can look at it and see how much green there is, knowing that that's all taken care of and done. So it makes me feel very on top of things.
Everything in color is always better. Some people do it that they do a different color for each topic. So I know like, oh, topic five is yellow, whatever. But then I get my subjects confused. If I have all topic fives are yellow, then I don't know which information goes with which topic five.
Yeah, but yeah.
Look, it sounds a bit anal to describe it, but I promise I've been doing it my whole uni degree. And look, I haven't always done the best, but one thing I have been able to do is know which subject has which information.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
About you, Shannon? What's your best study hack?
I think I potentially have said this on the podcast before, but it is studiosity.
Oh. Like the uni, like.
Yeah. So it's obviously, it's not done by our uni, but it's a service that the uni has like okayed. For me, it's almost like, because I think you always want to have someone to look over your assignments, but like obviously academic integrity makes it a bit tricky, particularly if you're on the same class.
And the jump, I think, from year 12, where like, I don't know about you.
Yes.
But like your teachers will draft every assignment.
Yes.
And you can like have someone look over it. And then you know if you've messed up the draft, you could get it back and you know that then your final is like at least on the right track.
Yeah, but this is like a totally legal university, like encouraged way that you can get like a third party to look at your assignment. And what I love about it is like obviously it won't tell you if you've met the assignment criteria. It cannot do that. But it'll you can have it look for grammar, structure, referencing.
Oh my God. I feel like I've been living under a rock.
Yeah, this is it's so good. Like structure, all of that stuff, it'll look at it for you. It is a human person too. They're often people from like Canada or whatever who's actually like awake when we're asleep or something like that.
My midnight that I'm submitting.
Yeah, but you can submit it at any time and you can submit like very incomplete versions. So like often the thing I'll do is I'll wait for my introduction and conclusion last because like at the end of the day, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I can just write that once I know what the rest of it is. But I will write in like the little information description, like not yet having an introduction, not yet having conclusion, or depending on who you get, some people are better than others. I will say that. And depending on who ends up looking at your work. But you can say like, oh, I'm really over the word count or something like that. So they might sometimes, if they're good, they will highlight and say, potentially this is a place where you could cut down some words or things like that.
Oh my God.
But what's really great as well, if you are learning, if you're not 100% confident in your essay writing skills, the stuff that it picks up, it'll say like, maybe you need something like signposting language and then we'll tell you what that means. For those of you that don't know, that's words like, however, additionally, that kind of stuff that links things together, you know, therefore, all that kind of stuff, which is really important in creating flow in your essays. But yeah, it'll catch all those things. And if there's like weird grammar things that you've done, it'll actually give you like a little definition and explanation of how it's supposed to work. So not only is it highlighting where you can improve your assignment, but it'll actually tell you, like, it'll teach you how to write a better assignment the next time. And you can submit multiple. I think I could be wrong on this, but I think you get about 8 submissions per semester. So if you're doing a full-time workload, that's like 2 major assignments each class or something like that. But it may even be not have that limit. I'm not sure. But
I'm literally so impressed.
Yeah.
I've always, look, this is criminal of me. I've plugged Studiosity on the Instagram like 3 times and I've never used it myself.
No,
everyone's
so
like,
good.
Oh, it's so good. I didn't really know the ins and outs of it, but I'm so impressed.
Yeah.
I've literally never been told, look, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like I've been all through year 12, all through like all my schooling, my 3 years of uni, not once. I might have done badly on an assignment, but not once have I been told that my sentence structure or grammar is bad. I just got this assignment back and he gave me like 2 out of 10 for my sentence structure. And I was like,
girl,
oh my God.
This. Yes, yes. And so that like that's the way I like it to use it is for the document review. So basically you can also they do have like a 24/7 chat. So if you have actual questions like about how to do certain things of an essay or things like that, that maybe your tutor said use this specific type of style and you don't really understand it, you could potentially go in there and ask. Again, I think the success of that will probably depend a little bit upon who you get on the other end. But yeah it's a great way. That's 24/7.
Oh
and
my God.
So I will often, if I have, say, my assignment due on the Monday, I'll have my little draft. I generally, you want to give it at least 24 hours time to come back. And then obviously for you to review the comments, it can be a little longer depending on if it's a really busy period of the semester, of course. But I will, no matter what shape it's in, even if it's like hot trash, I will submit it like a day or two before and then keep working on it and then review it again. But it's also a good chance if you're just like so sick of an assignment to feel like you're actually doing something whilst taking a step back.
Yeah.
Because you can submit it and then not worry about it until you get it back. And then you can go back to it and take the little break.
That's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. So I really, that's a big recommend for me if you've never used it. And you can access it through my uni. On all of your courses, there should be like an assignment help tab on my uni and then that will have a link to Studiosity there for you.
Slay is
big
all
slay.
I have to say. That's perfect.
Well, should we get into our questions?
Yes. I feel like I've collected some from the Instagram because, as we know, I'm the Instagram runner, and I feel like you've collated some.
I've collated some as well. So I feel like maybe we'll kick ourselves off with like a really nice light couple of questions.
Yeah.
So what are your favorite podcasts, given that we do make podcasts here?
So interesting. I'm not the biggest podcast listener, but the ones that I listen to, I live by. Like, I love them. The first one that I listen to week in, week out. So irrelevant to anything, but that's the whole reason why I like listening to it. It's Just for Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Guggenheimer and Izzy Armitage. I don't know if you know them. They're like Melbourne influencers. It's just like the most, it's kind of half relevant to me, but kind of not really. It's like dilemma diaries, like things that go wrong with people's friendships, relationships, things like that. Or it's like they do random recommendations and they do like they interview all these random people. Like, they've interviewed literally anyone, any random influencers, people that they might find interesting. And I genuinely, the reason why I love it is because they, like, they're co-hosts, they get along with each other so well, and it's just so interesting. And I feel like I get such a good insight into their life, and it really is just, like, good, wholesome entertainment is the whole reason for that one.
I love it.
And then if we're talking podcasts that are kind of on the same train as Take Note, I guess, Imperfects, 100%.
We love Imperfects.
I feel like you'll say this one as well.
Yes.
I live and die by the Imperfects. I read, so my boyfriend at the beginning of the year was like, maybe you should read The Resilience Project. And I was like, oh, never heard of it. I'll give it a read. I was like, this book is insane. I love it. I'm like 3/4 of the way through. I'm on the Resilience Project website and I'm ordering the second book and the diaries and everything. I've given The Resilience Project out to all of my friends, like my three closest friends. They were forced to read it. They've also read the second one. My boyfriend's read the second one. We've all got the bookmarks and the 21-day diaries. I love it. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I remember this. And so Liv is like telling us how much she loves The Resilience Project. Yes. And we're in a meeting and I go, have you listened to the podcast though? And she's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, confession. Shannon's the reason why I found it and it's my favorite podcast. So
yeah, so it's run by Hugh Van Kylenberg along with Ryan Shelton and his brother. God, what's his name?
It's Hugh's Josh Van Kylenberg.
Josh. Yeah. So Hugh actually is the founder of The Resilience Project. So that's how they're sort of connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Dr. Emily episodes, if you know,
they are the biggest slay.
Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Even it just makes me feel better about decisions that I make in my life. I'm like, oh, maybe on reflection, I shouldn't have done that. And then I listened to this podcast and I'm like, you know what? I stood by my values. I respected my boundaries.
I did the best I could.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love her. No.
If you need a new podcast, The Imperfects is the one for you.
I totally back this.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. No, I'm 100% the same. The Imperfects.
Yeah, I was going to say, I felt like I was low-key stealing yours, but I was like, oh, no. At the end of the day, she told me to listen to it.
But no, it is. And I think it's one of those ones that you want other people to listen to.
Yeah.
Yes. No, okay, we love it. But moving on from that, we love Shameless. Shameless is just, it's a classic. And the Everybody Has a Secret. Have you listened to that?
No.
You would froth it. It is so good. Really? So it's obviously the same people. So Annabelle, who produces Shameless, does this podcast. And they read out like anonymous secrets and then like talk about it and like give advice and stuff like that. But some of them are so hectic. Like one guy was like, I think I'm the father of like my neighbor's kid because he was a sperm donor and they were like gay couple.
Oh my God.
And then he like hired a private investigator and found out this private investigator seemed to think that it was his kid. And now he's like, I don't know what to do with my life. Like, what the hell?
That's insane. That's so
genuinely
cool.
Insane. But anyway, yeah, that's such a good podcast.
Oh my God. Recommend. Would you say that that's your top three kind of?
I think so. And then probably if I'm feeling like I want to be smart, probably The Daily by the New York Times.
Oh yeah.
Which is just like really standard. Good, really good journalism. And I'm definitely on the train at the moment with the US election.
Oh yes, I'm not
obsessed.
But all my friends, like I'm always so out of date with that stuff and I'll rock up to uni and my best friend will be like, sorry, like what's your opinion on this political drama at the moment? I'm like, what?
Who, what, where?
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel it's very journalist of me to pick a news podcast as well.
So, no, I feel like it would only be right. I feel like I'd be like, if you didn't pick one.
But moving on, just another little fun one. Mm. What is your favorite ice cream flavor? I think this is important.
I think this is really important. I love this question. So look, I'm really specific about my ice cream. If we're talking any kind of ice cream, I'm probably picking Yoichi. I know it's frozen yogurt.
Okay, yeah.
But like the joy it brings me going to Yoichi.
Like, do you like the little self-service kind of like?
Oh my God. So I'm allergic to nuts, as I mentioned in another episode. So like sometimes these ice cream places, it really is just too difficult. Like I don't know what has nuts in it. I don't know what doesn't. This one, perfect. I can get my salted butterscotch and strawberry Yoichi and I can put my strawberries and my mochi and my choc chips and my Biscoff and my caramel sauce. Look, I just love it.
I love that you're not having an anaphylactic shock. We love it.
Nah, it's so good. I force my boyfriend to go with me all the time. If someone says ice cream and they're not saying Yoichi, like, oof, we have to go to Yoichi. Like, it's just my favorite. But then if I'm going actually an ice cream flavor, this is really, really niche, but I'm going Connoisseur Cookies and Cream.
Oh, okay. Like Coles aisle.
Yeah, like from the fridge.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's so fair.
Strawberry'd be up there. Like if we're talking really basic, like strawberry vanilla, that's my vibe. Probably I hate chocolate ice cream. Fun fact.
That's diabolical.
I know. Chocolate is not for me.
I'm going to be honest.
Anyway, cookies and cream connoisseur. That's the, if you're going to the supermarket, that's the one for me.
Look, it was on special last week. So
was it?
Yeah. In, like,
I didn't
food
get
land.
It.
I think for me, it does depend on like my mood.
Oh,
and it sort of depends
enough.
On like, because I like the chocolate chip flavors, but it sort of depends on how big the chocolate chips are as well. Mm. So like I know Copenhagen years ago in Glenelg used to do like the big fat chunks in their like double chocolate. And it was so good. And then mint choc ice cream. Love that.
Mint is so good
mint
as well.
Mint choc chip is a slay. But Gelatissimo, when they do the chunky like chocolate honeycomb, that is so good.
Oh.
But if it's like a proper like hot day, lemon sorbet.
Oh, if I'm going somewhere that I'm unsure about what I'm getting, like if it has nuts or anything, lemon sorbet, green apple sorbet even.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I had the most incredible passion fruit sorbet in Melbourne.
From?
It was in Melbourne. And I'm absolutely devastated that we don't have it here. I think I had it like 3 times in like 3 days.
Because... Well, I'm going to Melbourne at the end of the year, so I'll have we'll have to find the place and I'll put it on the Instagram story. Go to this ice cream shop in Melbourne.
But maybe we'll get into some other questions. What else? What have you got there, Liv?
So I have... These questions, I'm so impressed. They're really good. I feel like we could have a whole podcast episode on just some of these questions alone.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one is, who is your favorite person to interview on the podcast? This probably isn't one for me because I haven't interviewed anyone, but who's been your favorite so far?
Oh my God. I got to remember who we've had. I feel like we've had so many people. I really loved chatting to Annabelle about
her studying overseas
experience. That was great. She was awesome. I really enjoyed the behavioral psychologist one as well. That was so interesting.
Oh my God. Yes. I keep forgetting how many good episodes we've had.
Low key. And I'm actually quite excited for one that's coming up, which is with a sleep expert from UniSA talking like about the science behind sleeping and like how to get around it with study when you're stressed and all that kind of stuff. I really like that. Also because I just love that sciencey kind of stuff.
And the golden question, how much sleep do we really need?
Yeah, exactly.
All will be revealed in a couple of weeks.
But no, she was great. But honestly, like so many of them have been really awesome.
I feel like we have been really lucky. All the guests that we've had are really good. The first one that comes to mind for me was the international student episode that we did with
when they became
Estee and Pragya, and they were like so cute and they became besties.
So cute.
Love them.
Totally.
Okay. My next question is there ever going to be a live podcast in the hub?
Well, we did have our live recording for
Plug
September just last week, which was really, really fun. We got some amazing guests on to talk about sex and sexual health. I wore a very fabulous t-shirt.
Yeah, it was so
No, t-shirt,
cute.
Shirt.
Yeah.
Yes. So definitely, and we've recorded all of that and that will be coming in a couple of weeks as well.
We should be posting the video on Spotify.
And we'll be posting a full video on Spotify as well when it's available. So you'll be able to watch the podcast as well as listen. So that's exciting.
So fun.
But we are hoping it won't be the last time we do a live recording.
There's things in the works for next year, but... Never know what will happen.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just keep your eyes peeled. But with those live recordings, we would love to have you come along and sit in the audience. And that way we can meet you and see you in the flesh. And then you can
see... little take notians.
Yeah, little note takers. And we can... you'll be able to see how it all comes together as well, which I think is really cool.
So cute. Okay, moving on. What is the best advice you've ever received regarding a uni assignment?
I mean, feel free to jump in with this with your own advice.
I don't know. It's such a like big question because you get advice from everywhere all the time. I feel like the classic advice is the earlier you start it, the better you'll do.
Yeah, true.
Look, everyone says that. Sometimes it just doesn't work like that. Sometimes the assignment is being left the last minute. And this isn't even advice that I've been given. This is just like how I choose to do my assignments. If I'm doing it last minute, you can't not think about it until the last minute.
Yeah.
If you're putting off the writing of it, you have to at least be thinking in the days leading up to it. You're like, I know I don't have time to do it, but I have 5 minutes to think about it and I have 5 minutes to think about this and that.
Yeah.
And just go into your notes app, make a couple tiny little notes, plan out your paragraphs, just think about it. You don't have your references, you haven't actually written the words, but when you sit down to do it, you have to be ready to go full speed ahead if you're leaving this thing to the last minute.
I like that. I can't actually remember specific assignment advice, but I remember some of the best advice I was given. It's short and sweet. It was just trust yourself.
Yeah,
and
so cute.
I think that really can apply to assignments because sometimes I think we like back when we had our episode with the lecturers talking about how they were talking about what they look for in an assignment, and they did actually talk about people taking risks. So like if you take that argument to the next level, if you sort of go down that more interesting track, I think trust yourself in the fact that you sort of know, you know the topic, you know, like you're smart, you've got this, all that kind of stuff. And I just love that advice because I feel like it applies for so many other things. And because there is more than just one type of assessment we do here at the university, it's not all just written stuff. Sometimes it is an exam. Sometimes it is a performance if you are in the arts sort of
or
sector.
Or like a multimodal?
Multimodal. Yeah. But I think in all of those elements, because there's so many different ways that we put forward work and different things that we work on, is just trust yourself, because trust that you've done the work, trust that you've put in the hours that it needs, and that you've learned all the stuff. Like as much as sometimes it feels like we don't learn anything in classes, you'd be surprised how much is actually soaking in and is coming together in your brain.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just so step by step. It's hard to notice.
Also, the time to mess up is at uni.
Absolutely.
This is, we're here to learn.
Yes.
Okay. My next question, which isn't actually mine, it's from the Instagram. What are your end goals with the podcast and with yourself in your lives?
Oh, God. That's...
Podcast is difficult. The uni's emerging next year, guys.
The year after.
Yeah. Like, we only really have a year left of it. I really would just like, me personally, I would just like to really boost our engagement, make it more fun, make it more silly, more relatable.
I think my end goal for the podcast, I think instead of calling it an end goal, maybe just goal in general for the podcast, is for it to reach as many students as need it and that we are providing information that students feel is valuable and all that kind of stuff. I think if we can have like a positive impact on someone's university experience, whether that's at this university or another one, I think that's amazing.
And for it to continue into the new university, not necessarily in its current form, but to have a podcast with a similar platform for me to be.
Yeah, I think so as well. Yeah. But in my life, my God, Jesus.
And goal for your life.
I mean, I am not someone who, you might not think so, but I'm not someone who actually plans my life that very far ahead.
Fair enough.
Because honestly, I feel like, I think have ideas of things you want to do and goals and things you'd like to achieve. But I think thing is, you actually never know when that might happen or when those opportunities are going to come up or what opportunities you can't anticipate. So many of the best things in my life, I didn't anticipate this job. I didn't anticipate that I'd be making a podcast.
I didn't anticipate ever being on a podcast
either. No, exactly. This wasn't a job that I had thought about when I entered into my degree or any of that. So, and it was same with previous stuff I've done in music. Some of my coolest opportunities just turned up out of the corner, you know, do you want to be part of this TV show thing? And it's like, okay, let's do
Absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, I do.
Yeah, exactly. And you never know where that might take you. So I think I have ideas of things that I want to do. I know I want to go overseas and spend some time overseas. I know I want to keep sort of working in the same spaces that I am now. But beyond that, I think as long as I'm like happy, healthy, and I feel like what I'm doing at the time is fulfilling me, I think that is my goal.
Really all you can ask for.
Exactly. Because I think if you think stress too much about the future, you forget to live in the moment. And that's where life is. You know what I mean? What's that John Lennon quote? It's like,
oh, I would have no clue.
Life is what happens while you're busy making other plans.
Oh, yes. So cute.
Yeah. What about you?
I feel like mine's like not really on the university route or like the study career route. I would just want to have like a happy family, like own my own house, like live with my husband, have my kids. I'd love to have a little girl running around. And like, I would just want to be happy in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like obviously you want to have enough money to sustain your lifestyle.
Yes.
And like, I'm not saying I want to be poor, but I really would rather have a job that I enjoy doing than a job that pays lots of money.
100%. Exactly. Because I think we all often, I totally understand it, but like money is often the thing that's at the forefront of our minds because it's what allows us to get places. But like, time is actually the most valuable resource you have in your life. It's the one you don't know how much you have.
And I don't want a job that's going to suck all of my time. Like I want to be able to be there for my kids, and I want to be able to still catch up with my friends and have time to focus on my family and still be able to go home and see my parents. Like,
yeah. And I think if you think about like your job as well, how much time you give, think about how much time you currently give to uni and how much time you give to work. Like that's so much of your life. I think it's really important that you enjoy it enough that you feel like it's worth losing, essentially spending the time on, because that's what it is.
And I feel like working full time, like that's just a reality. Like at the end of the day, you're really not going to get away with doing less than your we'll say 40 hours in a week that you'd be in the office. But at the end of the day, you don't want to be giving up more than that a week. You want to go home at the end of the day and you want to be able to see people in your afternoon, like your evening probably, realistically. And like you do want to have those weekends free and you don't want to be sitting at home on your couch at 10 p.m. still replying to work emails is really what I would hope for myself.
Yeah. And like honestly, like obviously being realistic about different stages of life, sometimes you have to work the job you don't love for a period of time. But I think if the goal
is... to an end.
Yeah, exactly. I think if, you know, you have that goal of where you know you want to be or, you know, in some kind of form, I think that's really helpful because then you, at least even if you're doing that job, you can work towards it. If you're in a creative field, you can be practicing that. If you're at uni, then you are studying, you know, that's working towards your goal as well. But yeah, I mean, going on from that, I actually have a question as well that I've gathered. So talking about like end goals. So obviously when we go to uni, we sort of have this maybe a career path, a job, or like an industry that we're interested in getting into, but uni can be a bit of a slog.
Yeah.
So how do you stay focused on that end goal while you're at uni in the midst of everything?
To be honest, if you're really struggling to focus on your degree, my thing is maybe it's not the degree for you.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if this is good advice or not, but I feel like some of those finance classes, looking back, look, I am happy I did my finance part of my degree and I knew that I got to the point that I was like, do I even want to do it? And I had one semester left. So it's you push through and you finish it.
Yeah.
But it's like if you're going to every single class and there's not a single class that you can see that you would want to apply some of this to the job that you would say want to do. Like say you want to be an environmental scientist and you're in this class. Look, I know nothing about environmental science. So if I get this wrong, like anyway, so it's like say you're just studying environmental science and you're in this class and it's like, you just hate every single class that you're doing. At the end of the day, some of the stuff that you're doing in these classes is going to be applicable to your career.
Yeah.
So it's like if you're sitting in every single class and hating it, I would say it's probably not for you.
Yeah.
In terms of staying focused on the end goal, when there might be one class that you don't like and you're really struggling to push through, it really is just thinking about the fact, this is what I do. I think about it from the fact that it's like, in 6 months' time, this class is going to be over.
Yeah.
And then it's like you reassess again. If there's another class again that you don't like and it's the same thing and this topic that you really don't like is becoming more and more prevalent, that's when you could reconsider your degree.
Or but maybe just have a chat with careers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just see like, is this what my job's actually going to look like in the field?
Yeah.
If I'm doing this class and I'm hating it, am I really going to need to do this in the field? Yeah. But if it really is just that one class or those two classes that you're like, oh, I just hate going to them, like, you really just have to, I think, about it from the time perspective.
Yeah.
In 6 months' time, this class is going to be over. And reality is it's probably only 5 hours of every week that I'm doing this class at max.
Yeah, exactly.
I watch my 2-hour lecture, my 1-hour tutorial. Maybe yours are 2, but mine are 1.
Yeah. And then, like, your job won't necessarily look exactly like it does at uni. In most cases, it doesn't look, you know, it looks quite different. So in the real world.
What about you? How do you stay motivated when your classes are?
I think for me, I'm quite fortunate in that I enjoy learning. So I think I do just try to find the joy in learning, which sounds really nerdy and lame.
That's okay.
But like trying to like enjoy the journey of getting to where I'm going. I think for me, someone that finished a degree and then decided to come back to uni, I think that was the biggest change for me. I remember that first year of being at uni, I actually felt so motivated and so like excited because I felt like I was on a path. I was like on a path that I feel excited about. And it didn't matter that I wasn't doing exactly that thing right there and then. I was enjoying learning about it and just the knowledge of being on the path. And I think sometimes we forget that, you know, we've been given this opportunity to sort of spend this 3-4 years of time on this one thing.
Yeah.
And like that's actually so great because you've got this time to learn and try a bunch of other stuff all at the same time to prepare yourself for whatever it is that you might want to do at the end. Mm. But I think also like I think it helps if you find other things to get involved with. So like I did community radio for the entirety of my degree.
Which is so cool.
Which really helped keep my like foot in the real world as well about like what it would be like. So I think that helped and getting like internships or experiences that are applicable to the field that you're interested in, I think can really help go side by side because then it feels like while it's just still doing uni, you're getting that experience and knowledge about the field and you feel like you are progressing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, I'm just going to rapid fire some of these. They're not really questions that we need to answer,
but
we're going to plug episodes that they're relevant for.
Oh, I like this.
I've come up with this on the
spot. Liv's just sprung this on me.
We weren't going to do this. Okay, so I'm about to finish my second trimester and I don't know who to approach about internships and career guidance. what episode do they need to listen to?
Okay, we do have, I'm going to pull up Spotify so we can tell you the exact name of it. But yes, we do have an episode all about internships. This one, we've got someone who completed an internship talking about their experience, as well as someone who hosts interns talking about what they look for. Okay, it's called The Intern, Not a Movie Review. And that's a few weeks ago. So definitely go and check that out.
Perfect. Now, what scholarships are on offer at the university?
Oh, this is a question close to my heart as someone who's been trying to get a scholarship. Yeah. So it sort of depends what type of scholarship you're looking at getting. We did talk about overseas study scholarships and things like that. So that one is called Help, I Broke My Ankle Overseas with the incredible Annabelle and also Jasmina from Study Overseas talking about the exact scholarships that you can apply for and opportunities coming up through there. We may have talked about scholarships in another area. I think we talked about it in our last episode about postgraduate degrees called I've Already Got My Degree, Why Do It Again? We did talk about postgraduate scholarships and how there's plenty available with Cody from that team.
Perfect. The next one is, can we get more psychology experts on the podcast? There is already a couple. So what episodes are they in?
Oh my God. So one of our favorites. It's called Can't We Be Friends? And it's with a behavioral psychologist.
This is my favorite.
Yeah. It's so good. And she's talking about basically the science behind friendships and how important it is for us to, I guess, have those conversations with ourselves about, you know, that we are
definitely,
that we should be stepping into the room and that we're worth, you know, taking out the time of someone else. And I think that was really fabulous. And we also had an assignment. I think it was an assignment hacks one where we did it. Oh, is it over yet? Surviving exams. We spoke about like the science of study with someone in one of the psychology lecturers here at the university.
I'm really putting you on the spot here.
Oh my God. Testing my knowledge. I feel, this is definitely the hot seat.
This one's a good one to plug an upcoming episode. Can we hear more stories about student placements and how to manage everything in your life when on placement?
Yes, we have some fabulous nursing students who are coming in to have a chat with us about their experience on a placement. So look out for that one. I think we were all really excited about that one as well.
Can you even believe someone asked that question? It's literally coming out so soon, that episode, and they've asked me on here.
How perfect. They knew.
Perfect. Well, I feel like that's all the questions that I have for today.
That's definitely all the questions I've got. But thank you all so much for sending in your questions. I hope we've answered them well enough for you.
Fingers crossed. Also, just check out every episode because your question hopefully is answered somewhere.
Yeah, we get a lot of questions from people when we meet them around the uni and they ask us about different things, whether it's meeting friends or, you know, internships and things like that. And there's episodes out there for you. So definitely, even if it looks like it might not be up your street, you'd be surprised how much everyone can learn from each episode.
Yeah, especially Can't We Be Friends? It's Imperfect Vibes to the max. So definitely go listen to that one.
No wonder it's your favourite. Well, thanks so much, Liv. It's been a joy to have you back on again. It's always so much fun.
Thanks for having me, Shannon. I love being on here.
See you next time.
Bye, guys.
Take note.
Next time I promise to read all the footnotes.
This is a UOA on campus production.